This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey there, everybody. Good morning. How are you? It is Sports Daily. It is a Wednesday. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Paul Savage. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We're both looking stylish, if I do say so myself, big fella. Hope everybody's joining our revolution that we're starting. It may be a two-man show, but we're going to live it, and we're going to do it well. Put on your best Hawaiian shirt and have fun on a hump day, because we're getting ready to take you toward another football week. We'll have some Kansas City Chiefs talk on the program today, get Paul's take on the weekend and looking ahead. And I'm starting to see, and this is driving me nuts, the Travis Kelce, you know, pop culture sports blend has taken an odd turn this week. So we'll dig into that a little bit as well. Chiefs make a roster move of note, I think, that we can discuss. We'll have Shreyas Lada in this first hour to discuss KU sports with us, our KU insider. We'll have Kevin Saul, top of next hour, Wichita State Athletic Director, stopping by to get us all caught up on Shocker sports. We've got practices underway for the men's and women's basketball, volleyball in action. We'll get the latest on some projects there at Wichita State with Kevin Saul. That's coming again at the top of the next hour. Jad Chambers driving this ship. He's on the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. Glad to have Jad back in studio for us. He's also manning our voice message system through the Odyssey app. If you're listening to us through the Odyssey app, there's a little microphone on your home screen. If you've got something to say and you can't wait on the phone, you can push that button, leave your message. It sends it right to Jad, and he can then get it over the air. It's pretty cool. You can also, of course, watch us on our video streams. You've got us on 12 News Connected Plus. Love that we've got that on your smart devices. We've got Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can comment to us in those places as well, and we can get right to them. It is a good Wednesday, Paul. And not to bury the lead, the Royals finally get off the schneid. Oh. And it was wacky, and it was weird, and it was fortunate, and it looked like it was going to be another disaster, but it was not. And they get a Twins loss, which means the magic number, Paul, now with five games to play, is down to four games. Now, the Tigers win. The Mariners also lose, which is an added bonus. The Tigers do win, and the Tigers aren't slowing down at all. Right now, their wins and losses don't shrink the number necessarily because they're tied with Kansas City. But certainly we would like to see them lose as well. But Kansas City sort of maintains. Remember, they own the tiebreaker over Detroit, so they move back into that second position of the wild card, Paul. And that is where we should start today, is with some Kansas City Royals baseball. Sigh of relief. They're not out of the woods by any means yet, but that certainly increases their chances ever so slightly to reach the postseason. It has been a weird 7 or 8 days. 1-0, extra innings over the lowly Nationals, scored the run on an error, but they score the run the first and 27 innings, Paul. Their pitching was masterful again. and it's enough to get the win.
You know, last time we were on together, and I can't even remember what day it was. We've been on a lot here lately together. But whatever day that was, you were visiting with me about momentum and how that feels, you know, towards the end of the year. Is it does a baseball manager, and we were using the Royals for example, do you want to see a team playing well going into the playoffs, or does it even matter? And obviously, I know both of us knew the answer to that, but it was still a very fascinating conversation. And right now, who would you rather be, the Detroit Tigers, or would you rather be the Kansas City Chiefs? Because I'm pretty darn sure you would say you like the momentum of the Detroit Tigers. I mean, sure. Right now, they are literally playing as well as they've played all year long at this very moment. The whole year. Well,
yeah, they're on an historic run here. I think I saw just this morning, no team has ever been 10 games back on August 10th and reached the postseason. And it sure feels inevitable for the Tigers at the moment. Now, look. 5 games to go. Right. They're not totally out of the woods yet either. They have a nice schedule. That's the reason everybody likes them so much, is because they get to finish the year with the White Sox, who have lost 120 games now. So that's a part of the reason for the Tigers that people like them so much. The Royals, after this series, have the most difficult final series because if Baltimore continues what it's doing, it's already, I believe, guaranteed a playoff spot. And they know, they kind of know their fate. So I believe it's the Twins that finish with Baltimore. That's that, that may not help you too much. And of course, the Royals get the tough road trip to Atlanta. In a best case scenario, Paul, this is wrapped up before that series with Atlanta. That best case would be a Royals sweep here of the Nationals and the Twins being swept in their series. So is that likely? Probably not. But, winning these games, they need to sweep this team, will make it a whole lot less stressful going into that final series. Minnesota and Seattle losing certainly helps. And maybe they'll get a little help with Detroit, too. And that would be really nice to see. But just winning a game, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Paul. Finally, 7-game losing streak. They hadn't scored in 27 innings. They had bases loaded opportunities twice in that game. Could not get any runs. And wouldn't you know it, it takes extra innings, a ghost runner, and an error on the play to get it done in a 1-0 win. Yeah. My goodness. No complaints, right? You don't complain. It doesn't matter. They got the win. This time of year, who cares how they got it? Doesn't matter. They got it. And, right. And that's what matters. But they have got to score some dang runs.
Well, the important thing to me, and by the way, you said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Well, listen, I've been getting ahead of myself my entire life, so why stop now? But with that being said, it doesn't really matter that Detroit Tigers are going to play the White Sox. They've got 3 games to go out of what? I believe it's 5 games. I think it's 5 games. So they got
2 more against the Rays and 3 against the White Sox.
But that's not even the most important story with regards to Detroit. And that is the fact that right now in their last 10 games they're 8-2. Royals are 3-7. So you just look at those two numbers. Those are the two facts about right now what's happening that has to be reversed. In other words, I know this sounds crazy, and I know it's not possible, or at least I don't think it's possible, and that's that the Royals have to win 4 out of 5. I think for them to swing this momentum thing, and let's get this thing kind of, if you're the Royals, to get this thing, this ball rolling downhill again, hit the top of the hill and let it roll down a little bit, you've got to start playing very, very good baseball heading into the postseason. Because if they struggle through, or God forbid this will never happen, but let's say the White Sox win 2 of 3. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, but let's just throw that out. And then you got a chance and makes you feel better. But even with the way the Royals are playing, it's not like they're crushing their. Last night, basically it was Bobby Witt getting a little creeper out that couldn't be handled and getting on base and driving in the winning run. It was one of those kind of games. It wasn't like it was done masterfully or powerfully or with authority or anything like that. So I look at the Royals and I think to myself, you got 5 games to kind of get this thing kind of going. And obviously the Braves are a very, very good baseball team. They're still in contention. I believe they're, 1 game back, maybe 2 games back from having one of the, clinching a spot in the wild card themselves. So the Braves got a lot to play for too, don't they? Braves.
Go ahead. And to your point of winning four or five, it's interesting because that would mean you get no help. Like, if that's what it takes, the Braves beat the Mets yesterday, which is probably not good news for the Royals because that keeps them in contention, by the way.
That's right.
But so if you're going to say the Royals win four out of five and that's their path in, that means they get no help from the Twins, basically, or the Tigers, potentially, which means those teams win all their games, which is not unreasonable. The Twins get two more against Miami and then three against Baltimore, an unmotivated Baltimore. Are the Twins, who are also playing poorly, going to win their last five games? I would tend to say probably not.
Probably not.
Even if there's one loss in there from the Twins.
That's right.
Right?
That's
one loss.
Okay.
Then you're looking at a situation where the Royals need to only win three of their last five. Right. But that still means you've got to win a game against the Braves. Okay. So I think it's going to be at least that, probably. I think that's at least going to be where it is. This Tigers Rays series is interesting because you can get a little help there too. But the reality is no matter how you want to calculate it, whether they get help, don't get help, don't put the cart before the horse. They need to sweep the Nationals. If they sweep the Nationals, we know at worst going into the final weekend, the magic number will be two, right? At worst, because let's say the Twins win their next two against Miami, which is probably, I would say, likely as much as possible. And the Royals win their two against the Nationals. No matter what else happens, their magic number is going to be at two going into that Braves series. Now, depending on what the Mariners do, depending on what the Tigers do, it could alter what comes into that last weekend. The bad news is the Royals lose a tiebreaker with the Twins. They win a tiebreaker with the Tigers. That's good news. It would be real handy, assuming that the Tigers are going to sweep the White Sox, if the Rays could get at least one game from the Tigers. Build that cushion a little bit. And that's possible, right? The Rays are scrappy. That was a really close game yesterday.
They're a 500 club. Yeah, it's possible.
So, you know, I think that when you look at it, but again, we're getting too far ahead of this. This is a team who lost seven straight games, the Royals, and finally got a 1-0 win in extra innings based on an error against the Nationals, one of the worst teams in baseball. Doesn't matter what we want to break down and analyze. They've got to be better than they've been, including last night. Last night, they finally got a shred of good fortune when over the past week, they've got none of it, right? The ball bounces the wrong way, so to speak, for a week now. So there's some karma built in, I think, to that a little bit. But you can't leave the bases loaded twice in a game like they did last night. They have got to figure out a way to manufacture some runs. And if it's not coming by big hits, which it's not right now, you've got to do something. Just do anything that you can. Scratch and claw. And the way they've been pitching for the most part, that's good enough, right? 3, 4, 5 runs a game will be good enough the way that they've been pitching. We learned yesterday two key things, that Lorenzen will get the start, which was a question of how they utilize Marsh. Marsh is going to go to the bullpen, which I think is the right call. Lorenzen will get the start. And then we learned two other, really three things yesterday. Vinny Pasquantino was getting an evaluation. I think we're waiting to hear the latest on his potential. His return wouldn't happen over these next five games. But Michael Lorenzen starts today. Marsh goes to the bullpen. And then we also learned that Hunter Harvey and James MacArthur, neither of them will be returning this year. That's a pretty big blow if the Royals can get there. I think you depended in a month ago, you had hoped that both of those guys would be part of a postseason bullpen. But the bullpen's been okay here lately. Urcik did a nice job last night. Mm-hmm. He just missed a Joey Gallo was just feet from ending that game in a walk-off. And you just knew, like, you saw that swing and you're like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. But it didn't happen. It was, again, they got some good, you know, juju on their side in that game a couple of different times last night. But we get roster moves that aren't promising. We'll see what happens with Vinny Pasquantino. But again, and at this point, Paul, who cares? You got to win, right? You shrunk the magic number. And you shrunk it by 2. Went from 6 to 4. It's a whole lot different than it was yesterday. We mentioned the voicemail feature that we have on the Odyssey app. Let's go to that now. Ken chiming in via voice message through the Odyssey app. Here we go, Jeff.
Yes, the long national nightmare of a losing streak is over for the Royals. One bright spot over that losing streak, and this is courtesy of the Royals broadcast team, is that the bullpen had a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 37-8 and an ERA of 2.5. So a little glimmer of good news in that long, dark cloud of a losing streak. Go Royals.
Yeah, look, we appreciate Ken, a great role.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Royals fan has been all season. The question I would have, Paul, is when you go through all of that and you finally get some good fortune like that late, do you think that takes the monkey off the back and lets them now loosen up and play well the rest of the way? Or they got lucky in the 10th inning on an error and we still don't feel good about the way this team is playing? I think that becomes an immediate question in inning one, pitch one here tonight.
Right. Well, you know, these are still professional baseball players. They're being paid to play. So that's the good news is that, yeah, you're right. You know, you get that one, you're in a funk, you get that one, this is a chance to get out, and that's what it takes. See, you kind of swung me around. I was about ready to hop on you once again when you got finished with what you were saying, the points you were making. Very well said, and I certainly appreciate it. So I guess instead of hopping on you and saying, well, I think you're missing the point, let me just ask you this question. Which to you is more important? Because it's kind of self-obvious to me. Is it more important to play just well enough and hang on and get into the playoffs? Or is it more important to be playing strong, get in the playoffs, play strong, go in playing strong?
Yeah, I mean, you got it. Momentum is everything in the postseason of baseball.
Right.
Hot teams do well. And the Royals have been one of the streakiest teams in baseball all year. I think about pretty often that if they can weather this, and I say pretty often, this is over the last, you know, 7 days. If they can weather this and they turn it around and you've been at that sort of rock bottom, now that can catapult you into a successful postseason.
Gotcha.
I am concerned about the amount of offense they would have in the playoffs, but I would keep going back to a couple of things. There's not a team in baseball that will boast a deeper top four in their rotation than Kansas City will in the postseason, I don't think. So they've got that going for them. I like their closer. They've got that going for them. I like their setup man. They've got that going for them. The offense has been bad, but they still do have, you know, two of the top 10, 15 players in the American League in Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, my opinion. That can be enough. You got to have some other people contributing and doing the things. But the Royals are a swaggy, streaky team. If they can get there and they finish this stretch strong and basically re-earn their way in, I do think it's still a roster set up for success, Paul. I do still think this is a team that can have a lot of success once they get there if they're on the right end of a good streak. You know, if the postseason started a week ago, they'd have been out in the first round. But boy, if they can weather this and then get on one of their heaters, that's a team nobody wants to play because their starting pitching is so good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's exactly right. And when you talk about, you know, the streakiness, I mean, it can happen to any baseball team. But on the other hand, you've got the American League East, New York Yankees, 92 wins, Baltimore Orioles, 87 wins, Kansas City Chiefs, 83 wins. It's not like those teams are running away from the Royals. The Royals are right there. And the good news is I hear my magic number 10 wins over, you know, over losses. You know, 83 and 74. Listen, this time last week we were talking on a Wednesday just like this. And what were we talking about? We were talking about the Royals. They're that little lead that I kind of look at every time I look at a standings. That number was down to 6, or it was down to 5. It was something 5 over 50% wins and losses. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, we can't have that. But, you know, even through this streak, they're hanging in there. They're 9 games over 500. So I guess everything can be set. I'm still worried about the streak. It still bothers me, but we'll see what happens. The Guardians are 91 and 67, and that gives you pause. But, you know, go in, get this job done. I guess the number one job, and you've convinced me of that, the number one job is getting the playoffs first. And sometimes I get ahead of myself. You ever notice that? Sometimes I get ahead of myself.
We just, like, we had to completely rewire things because of the last week. That's what it is.
Well, that's right? Part of the problem. Just
had to redo everything.
It's been a tough week, hadn't it? Been a tough week.
Yeah, but they get the win. They're down to 2. All this baseball talk, by the way, brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. We'll have a giveaway coming for you. We'll give away a little HTO today. Don't forget, you've got Royals baseball right here on KFH. That will be at 5:30. Pre-game coverage is a 5:45 first pitch out at Nationals Park in the nation's capital. We'll get more into that. We'll look at the matchup tonight, pitching and everything else as we make our way through the show. Shri Islada will join us in just a little bit to talk some KU football. Looking forward to that conversation. Maybe not looking forward to it is a better way to put it, as it's been just an absolute disaster for the Jayhawks. We've also got Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul joining us in hour number 2. It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday for all those who celebrate, so happy about that. It's all Brockton Savage. Get in touch with the show all kinds of different ways, and we'll be right back with more Sports Daily. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Always appreciate their ability to fuel us up each and every morning. Glad to be here. We've been talking Royals. Royals baseball is available for free here on KFH and the Odyssey app. You can tune in here tonight, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. That coverage begins at 5:30, or just simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. It's that easy. Paul, real quick on the Chiefs, and we'll get into this Travis Kelce stuff. It's everywhere now. We'll do it in depth in the second hour, but I'm seeing like one of the news magazine shows spent their first 10 minutes, and it was on mute, so I didn't hear what they were saying, but I knew what they were saying. And then I see it on the headlines this morning. There's a shot of him looking morose on the sideline during the game, and everyone knows Travis Kelce's just not in. We'll get into all of that. Quicker Chiefs news, because this will be a quick segment before we get to Shri Islada. Kareem Hunt's added to the active roster. I think we all saw this coming. I didn't know initially whether they were bringing him in as a bet, but the last week when we heard Andy Reid and we heard Patrick Mahomes talking about Kareem Hunt, it became pretty clear to me at that point that, yeah, they want him to be in the mix. And so it doesn't take long. He's up to speed, apparently. They add him to the active roster, and he'll become that third running back. But what becomes interesting, and we talked to Dan Israel about this yesterday of the Chiefs Radio Network, I thought Carson Steele looked great, Paul. I thought Carson Steele and Samaje Perine, however, like that combination allowed the Chiefs to play the exact kind of offense they wanted to play last week against the Falcons. So now that we have Kareem Hunt there, what does he add to the table here? He's not the same Kareem Hunt he was the first time he was a Chief. The numbers and the everything. He was a, let's just put it this way. He was a free agent for a reason, Paul. So I'll be a little disappointed. I got to admit, if he comes in and, you know, sort of takes the work from Carson Steele, this young prospect sort of that we're all intrigued by, I'll be a little disappointed if that happens.
Well, I get your point, but what he brings is he brings maturity. He brings a veteran way of looking at things. Hopefully he brings that work ethic. He knows that he's biding his time because he will hit the field. He will get to the field before this is all said and done. I can assure you that. He understands that. This might be the way he perceives one of his last hurrahs, his chance to make another paycheck for a couple of years. This is that tryout for that. So he has a lot riding on his shoulders, and I got a feeling he'll make the best of it. He's going to, I mean, let's face it, running backs, how long is your career if you're a running back? Not very long.
29's old. But and the other thing that Dave brought up that's good is they still haven't been good in the red zone. Maybe he just comes in and is
maybe he does. There's another benefit.
I don't know. Exactly. I don't even know how good at that he's been. I'd have to really look that up. But either way, that bit of news from the Chiefs. We'll get into the juicier stuff that Paul lives for in the second hour as it pertains to Travis Kelce. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, Sri Islata, our KU insider with KC Star, will join us to talk about the disaster of a season for KU football. Is it salvageable at this point? Well, we'll dig in a little bit on that as we make our way through that interview next. Don't go away. Sri Islata joins us when Sports Daily returns.
And 1240 KFH.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on the Kansas Jayhawks. Let's go now to the KU football and basketball beat writer from the Kansas City Star, Shreya Slatta.
And welcome in, everybody. Welcome back in. We are glad to have Shreyas in. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out there, check out the golf. These cool, crisp mornings, sunny, nice afternoons. This is as good as it gets. They got 36 holes of golf for you there. Great restaurant, great clubhouse, all kinds of good, you know, clothes and stuff in the pro shop. Maybe a good Hawaiian shirt, which we still can't get Shreyas to participate in.
Wow,
for some Shreyas. Reason.
Come on,
but
come on.
But they got you covered out there at Crestview. We appreciate their support. Get out there and tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Shreyas, we look like we're ready to celebrate here in our beautiful attire, but we are not when it comes to KU football. Between that and probably the strangest college football game I can remember in a very long time for K-State out at BYU, this dream season that we've had a really tough weekend. And for KU, it's been a really tough month. I don't even know what to say other than, is this thing still salvageable, do you think?
That is a very, very good question. I think every week that they are going to break the streak of losing, they somehow manage to lose in a way that it confuses me even more. I mean, they blew an 11-point lead in 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. That's the third straight game that they lost in a go-ahead fourth quarter touchdown. If you're a Kansas fan, I would probably be, you know, losing my mind. And as a writer, I'm losing my mind because I have no idea what's going to happen half the time in the games. And whatever you're writing, you can throw it out the window, takeaways and all. Is it salvageable? I think it is salvageable in the sense that the idea of a Big 12 championship is probably out of the window. But can you get a positive record above 500 and win a bowl game? I think that is still in the window. The way they've lost these games obviously has been the worst part. I think just inability to close fourth quarters, inability to close leads, giving up touchdowns at the end of first halves that have been, you know, kind of backbreaking and kind of, you know, balloon into the second half. It's weird because this team is older and a lot of the mistakes that are out there happening on the field doesn't feel like it an older team should be making. And I think ultimately the perception, like, you know, Lance has said, and he continues to say it's a long season, but it is a long season, but we're week five. It's week five right now.
Yeah.
They have Arizona State next week after this week, and then they have a bye week, their first bye week. So we're getting to a point where it's a long season is about to be, well, there's not that many games left. They have to start winning. I think that's the simple solution to that is I don't care who they're playing. They have to win. If you want any modicum hope of a Big 12 championship, you basically have to win out or maybe win, lose one more there. If you want any hope of playing a better bowl game than last year, they probably have to win everything but one, the next eight or nine.
I'm going to be real honest. I don't think anybody in the world right now cares about a bowl game. Another get to a decent bowl game. The expectations are too high. Like at this point, now we could get there if this continues to go south, but I don't think on September 25th, I think if you polled 100 KU fans and said, hey, would you be happy playing in the, Pop-Tarts Bowl? They would say, hell no, that's not going to be good enough. Not this year. So, And that's okay, right? That comes with expectations. I'm having a hard time with it. And it's sort of the same story, right? They have been good enough. This should be a 4-0 team. And that's what's so odd about it. And at some point, they just aren't capable of winning games late, and that makes you a not good team. But there's still the possibility that it's a good team who's played really poorly at the end of games. And I only say that because you look at the schedule right now. It's still, we could call it favorable, maybe a little less so than it was, but you get three games here, TCU, Arizona State, Houston. Two of those are at home. Mm-hmm. Up until the K-State game, where at the moment you'd play three straight ranked teams, two of those on the road. Can we compartmentalize it and just look at this and say, okay, everything sucks, but if they're 3-1 in the Big 12 going into that K-State game, that would feel pretty good. Also, they're still totally capable of being 3-1 going into that game. I don't think we've seen anything this year that would say those three teams are more talented than KU. They're certainly playing better, but they're not more talented. So then would ask this, inside that locker room, you can't do any of that if this spirals out of control. Do you think it's spiraling out of control, or is there still a attitude, I guess, or an atmosphere that they could do that. They could win these next three games. Their confidence level is high. Where are we sitting with that aspect of things?
I think it's interesting. I think their confidence level is still high. I think they still believe that they can turn it around. I think they still believe that this team has not played up to the expectations they've set on themselves and people have set on them. And they know that, they're a veteran group. If there's any team in the nation that I believe could make a run, and win a couple of games, it's this KU group that's going to have 30 guys leaving after the end of the year. It to me, like I look at it, if you go back individually, look at the games, and, now we learned that Illinois is not as bad as everyone thought they were. I mean, they beat Nebraska, with all the, hype around them. UNLV, let's withstand that the quarterback just left them last night. That's a whole nother thing. But they're 3-0 too. They're vying for playoff dreams. So like they're not as bad losses as we once thought of what they were. But the I saw this on Twitter, the chance of them losing those three straight games was like 0.17, like not even like 17%, 0.17, which is nuts. Okay. And I think this team knows that they are better than what they've shown on the field. I think they know they're more talented than the next three teams they play. I think they will, they're not going to keep spiraling. I'd be very surprised if they keep losing. Like, I know TCU is a good team. They have a good quarterback. They're not, what they were in 2022. And they're not, maybe where they want to be. But they have a good team with a sophomore quarterback that's 3 for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. They don't have a run game. And they have a good pass defense. But a defense that struggles to contain the run. So in ways, KU matches up pretty well with that, right? If this version of Jalen Daniels is out there where, he's only thrown 150, 180 yards a game, then, well, that's fine because TCU only gives up 150 yards per pass or passing yards in a game. It's where they struggle to contain the run, and they can't establish the run. So I think it starts with Saturday. It starts with a win Saturday, and then I'll get into can they win the next two? Because my issue has been, and I think everyone has done this coming into the season, the expectation of what happened has not lived up to the reality. So I can't even tell you what's going to happen because I thought they were going to beat West Virginia. I thought they were going to bounce back. They were winning that game by 11 points with 5 minutes to go, and they had an absolute, disaster class of a finish. To me, until I see them close a game, I will not be making any proclamations about this KU team. I need to see them beat TCU, and then after that, we can sit there and go into what are they, where are they going to be, are they going to be good enough to beat K-State?
Well, Sharias, we have talked on this show the last couple of weeks how the defense isn't as bad. I was a little critical of the defense last week. That 10-minute drive, 18 plays, the fourth quarter, the defense is on the field for 10 minutes straight. And, you give up a touchdown that ends up being the touchdown that beats you. And I was a little critical of that because you get off the field. That's what a good defense does. Three and out, get a pick, get a fumble, who knows what happens, but you get off the field. You get off the field is the sign of a good football team. Once again, let's just talk about the defense in the fourth quarter. West Virginia scored 15 points in the final 3 minutes and 27 seconds. 15 points. They win the game 32-28. Who saw that coming with, 5 minutes left in the ballgame? Who saw that coming? Because I didn't see that coming. And I guess we have to address situational defense for this team because they played well enough to win the game. But what's going on in the fourth quarter with this team? There's got to be something, and I don't know what it is, by the way. I'm just asking you. Maybe you do. I don't know. But what's going on with this defense in the fourth quarter that they can't seem to get off the field?
I don't think this is just a fourth quarter thing. I think it's just ending quarters in a bad way, ending halves in a bad way. We've had three straight weeks now where they've given a touchdown or a scoring play in the end of the first half. And also the fourth quarter. It's clear that, I think it's a lack of maybe a mix of the talent level hasn't played. Like Kobe and Melo have not been as good as last year. They haven't got as many picks as last year. They were getting burnt by a receiver that, had not put up 100 receiving yards up to that point. He had 130 yards or 120 yards, I think, in the first half. That's an issue. The pass rush, is not as good as last year. They're not getting the quarterback. That's putting a lot of pressure at the corners, the safeties. And it feels like they're having to be out there on the field so much more because the offense can't go and sustain these long scoring drives. There hasn't been, I feel like, a continuous game where they've had long drives that lead to touchdowns. It feels like either it's a touchdown and may it end maybe 5-6 minutes, which is decent. You give a defense a little bit of time to recover, or the offense turns the ball over and the defense is back on, and now they're exhausted because they're playing too much, more than they've ever played. I think this defense is better than last year, but the two things that worry me, and it's the same thing I talked about before the season, was can they get to the quarterback? They haven't really done that great. Can they... they had three sacks against West Virginia, but they only had two QB pressures outside of that. The sacks were great, but what happened to getting the quarterback otherwise? Can they contain QBs from running? It seems like they had that figured out against Illinois. They've done a disaster job against UNLV and against, West Virginia. They've let up two straight quarterbacks run for 100-plus yards. That's still a weakness from last year. So you combine that with the secondary not playing as well, and then you have a game like last week where everything just falls apart and combusts because all the problems become apparent more than ever in those last 5 minutes.
Shreyas Lada joining us. You can find his work at the KC Star Football and Hoops Reporter there. You can also follow him on X at SHRE98. Shreyas, the other big thing coming into that game was Jalen Daniels. I think, game plan wise, we saw what we wanted to see out of KU. They ran it with their two running backs 36 times. Daniels didn't contribute much in the run game. How do we evaluate his performance? I think I said it yesterday as somebody is like, that wasn't something that he needed to be pulled out of the game for, but it still wasn't vintage Daniels. And against that team, you know, I would say I'm still concerned going into games against good Big 12 defenses, but how did you evaluate Daniel's performance in this one?
Well, I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I was talking to Carter Stanley about this. We're actually having a breakdown about Jalen's year, Jalen Daniels' year coming out probably today about what's going good and bad. It's weird because I asked Coach Lance Leipold about this yesterday, about if he thinks Jalen took a step forward in the right direction. And I think in some ways he did, right? He cut off a little bit of the turnovers, the fumble, whatever. Like, I'm not really expecting him to pull, you know, some miracle there. It seems like that late fourth quarter drive just hasn't really happened for them this year. But that pick was pretty bad. It's an issue that I think is compounded this year, is like staring down receivers, not seeing coverage underneath a lot of times. It's weird because he only threw for 180 yards against a really bad West Virginia secondary. I know passing yards are not the metric that really matters that much, but that to me is just kind of like this was a game that he probably should have thrown for 200 plus yards. Like, the old Jalen Daniels should have hit 300 yards easy.
But 15-25, I mean, if they want to run the ball, which they did, I'm okay with it. It's the 15-25. Like peak Jalen Daniels completes 70% of his passes. He hadn't even sniffed that this year. That's like, he's just not accurate.
He's not. And that to me is like, I don't know what the issue is. If that's a fact that the offense is not putting him in the position to succeed in some ways. I think there's been a lack of motion this year a little bit compared to what Andy Coleman had. And that definitely, you know, I think freed up some of his receivers and made it easier for him to pass. But there are some throws that he's been asked to make that I'm like, that's a difficult throw for Patrick Mahomes to make. You go back and you watch the Illinois game, and Carter mentioned this, but he had to roll left as a quarterback and throw it across the shoulders to Luke Grimm. And, you know, he gets picked on that. That's a really hard throw. And to be mechanically sound in throws where he's in the, like leaning back, and, you know, it looks cool, but it leads to mistakes. And I think he's not mechanically been as sound as he was in the previous years. There's definitely, I feel like, a little bit of factor of rust, but I don't think it's a lack of arm strength. This thing, I feel like the touch has not been there on passes. I don't think anything more than that. I think that's a big thing. I think he hasn't been reading coverages as well as he normally does. I don't know if that's a rust thing or maybe there's something that is a tell. And I also don't think, you know, the offense has really figured out the balance between run pass yet. Like, there hasn't been a game where I'm like, okay, I think they did a good job of balancing both.
Right.
And they've made his job easier by, you know, running enough that he doesn't need to throw some tough passes. Like, I think he went the entire first half last week without throwing a pass in the middle of the field. That tells to me that's a quarterback that knows he's not at his, absolute best. If he can't throw in the middle of the field, which is where Jalen was so dangerous the last 2 years, that is an issue in my mind. And I think this TCU game can balloon out of control real quick, because this quarterback that they're facing is really, really good. He's a sophomore. He's throwing for 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns.
Should be strength on strength. KU does come home as a 2-point favorite. Go to the KC Star. Check out Shreyas' story on a barbershop there in Kansas. Great feature. Also got a mailbag coming, Shreyas. Here we go. They got to get the win. We keep saying the same thing. They got to get the win, and you'll be there covering it for us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great job. Great job. Shreyas
Lotta. Yeah, it's always really good stuff. What a wild year for KU football. Shreyas has you covered at the KC Star. Follow him on social media. We'll have more on that throughout the week. We'll preview that game throughout the week as well. Let's take a quick break. When we return, Wichita State Athletics Director Kevin Saul joining us. We'll get all caught up on the Shockers. A lot of hoops tidbits to get to as they're opening things up a little bit. A unbelievable, for some people, story, a massive story in the world of NIL breaking this morning. UNLV's quarterback stepping away. We'll see. We'll get into that in the second hour too.
Paul's
chomping at the bit on that one. All right, we'll come back. Kevin Saul joins Sports Daily when we return.